All right, has everybody got some notes? Let's stand for Corinthians 8, please. Pastor Cohen, would you be as kind as reading the first 8 verses? By the way, verse 3 has 2 different translations. If you're reading a different translation, which if you are, that's fine. Life will not end because we don't all agree or use the King James. Go ahead.
Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know.
By the way, the first 3 verses, with a sledgehammer, hit you in the face with the big problem that we have when we're discussing this. Everybody, you know what the problem is. You, and this you, can rationalize anything. I don't think you listen to me. Anything. We all know that we know. We know so much. We're so intelligent. And by the way, if you're out there in the world with so-called Christians, when I left this church in 81, I'm going to mention that this morning. I'll show a picture of the hospital. When I started working at Dire Mercy, Jerry Gottschall said, "You are the first Baptist that's ever worked at this Catholic hospital." Can I tell you something? He was 100% wrong. I was the first, now I'm using old language, out of the closet Baptist. There were lots of Baptist people. There was a woman I worked with the whole time. The last week I worked there, I went to the emergency room, and I'm like, she has a book there, a Christian book, in her purse. She knew I was a Christian. All the people in the emergency room knew I was a Christian. I witnessed to most of them. I remember one young lady, boy, it's been too long. What was her name? They got saved there. By the way, but nobody knew it. This is the game we play. By the way, can I say this? We're not going to read anymore. I actually have a question. I'm going to have you answer when we get done praying. Paul is asking a simple question. May I eat meat offered to idols? Why has it taken 3 chapters to answer that question? Tim, you're muddying the waters, but you're not a good Billy Baptist, because if you went to the places I went to school, everything was dictated by the Pope at the top. Or you go the other way and everything's okay. Wow. Yeah, it's not a right or wrong question. It's not a yes or no. That's the problem. And it's a very, and by the way, we don't have this problem. We have thousands of problems like it. So let's pray together and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. 3 contexts. All right, everyone look up here. If you work in the world, by the way, and if you don't work in the world, then this doesn't apply to you in one sense. There is always pressure. What's the first pressure, by the way? Because you have to fit in to some degree. What's your first pressure, do you think?
Adding your pronouns.
Well.
In your email. I'm not joking.
I would say there's a pressure before that. Mike, what do you think?
It's your language.
I would say the first one is this. And it's because of all these things. Now, when I was in the Navy, we didn't have pronouns in 1975. Okay, Amy? I learned this. You know what this is? I have done this 10,000 times. Dr. Duren used to come to me on a regular basis and challenge it. And I would always say, is it clean?
Right.
What was I talking about?
Jokes.
It's like, do all unsafe people tell dirty jokes all day long? Is that all they do? Well, where I worked it was.
Yeah.
Now I got a question. Are there any other passages in the Bible that deal with this question? Well, yeah, there's a book, there's a chapter by somebody by the name of Jesus. Prays for us, but he doesn't pray that we're pulled out of the world and live on a farm, never talk to anybody except the cows. He says, I pray for them, but I don't pray that you take them out of the world. Have you read it recently? John 17, by the way. All right, we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to try to apply. I don't want to repeat everything I've taught. I already know we don't know it. And by the way, if you don't know it, how do you base your life on principles? Or do you simply do what Billy Baptists do? And we got a lady here that doesn't come from Billy Baptist. I don't care what the group is. Okay, let's be real clear. I don't care the group. Every group has shibboleths. I don't think you know what shibboleth. You know the story in Judges. You can't pronounce the word properly, so off with the head. We have these little shibboleth or shibboleths. You know, every group has it. I was talking to a young man, a Pinoy. Well, he's coconut. Yesterday, he goes to a Filipino church, and I said, I think I know what your pastor's preaching on right now. He says, how do you know? I said, well, I don't listen to him regularly. He says, how do you know? I said, he's preaching against Christmas. Because that's what he does in November and December. You say, well, that, by the way, that is like, is that Christianity?
No.
Can you imagine going to a different country and you've got to teach people you need to be against Christmas? And they're thinking, well, wasn't Jesus born? Wasn't there a time that the Son of God became man? Yeah. We were really weird. Well, let's go to this question. Three contexts. All asking a question. Here's the question. Did I say, I cannot believe that I used proper English in the question. Normally I would say it this way, but my wife is here. Now, is that a problem we have today? Not directly. If we're talking about the idol of America, which the idol of America is greed, if the idol of America is greed and the idol of America is greed, then yes, we sacrifice things to idols. But that doesn't really impact anybody in this room. I've never met an American that even breathes deeply over that. That's the question. By the way, I have a commentary at home. It's a massive one. He spends three chapters, and you know what his answer is? You heard what his answer was. The answer is not yes or no. He said the answer is no. And where in the world did Paul spend three chapters talking about this? Why didn't he just say, can you eat meat offered to idols?
No.
Simple, isn't it? I think Paul is dealing with the problem of how we exist in the world. So I'm going to give you three contexts. Sunday night, most of you that were here heard this. Sunday night, and by the way, this is not about anybody. I hope you realize this is about us, as you're going to have to exist. The young man that I talked to yesterday, I told him five times at least yesterday, I said, listen, young man, I'm not interested in anything specific except your longevity as a Christian. He will be around long after I'm dead, probably. Did you hear me? And if you get perverted on things, you don't survive the Christian life. 2 Kings 5 at the top of the notes deals with this subject. Naaman, remember, he got saved. He says, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdens of earth? He asks this weird question. But verse 18 is where the action begins. Naaman just got saved. He's from a pagan kingdom. He's in a dilemma. What's his dilemma? He says, in this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant. And by the way, he's just become a believer. It's interesting. He says that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon, to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. This is because it's a function. It's a function of state. How do you extricate yourself? Well, that's part of Paul's problem. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to do the unthinkable. I'm going to give, by the way, the three concepts are simple. There's nothing deep about this. The deep part is when you can take these concepts and use them in your own life. And we'll try to apply some of that there. When I say deep, I don't think there's anything deep. You say, does Paul tell us we can eat meat offered idols or not? And I think the answer is, are you ready? Yes, no, and maybe. Boy, that does not sound like a Billy Baptist answer, because that requires you to do something more than look at your TV screen. By the way, can I say this? In Baptist circles, it was okay to watch TV for 8 hours a night for a male, but don't you smoke. While you're watching what? You know, we're kind of weird on these shibboleths. Let me just say that shibboleth is the right word. All right, we'll start. By the way, this is actually in the text, so it's not really deep. It's on the left side in 1 Corinthians 10:25-26. I want you to notice Paul's question, Paul's answer, and his justification for the answer. He says in verse 25, whatsoever is sold, and the King James says, this is, I am assuming you use this word, Noel, whatever is sold in the shambles. Don, I think that in Tagalog is the palengke, the wet market. It's the market where you buy meat in the, by the way, not in America where you go to Jewel or Walmart or, I'm talking about you go out, I've been there. I was there with a couple different times. It's an experience you need to experience. You need to go to an old wet market with some woman that's bossy. And by the way, I learned when Filipino women get bossy. They go into that market, man, they are snapping and they don't take any baloney and they look at the chicken they want, that's the one I want. They pay for the chicken gets plucked, the chicken gets cleaned, the chicken gets cut up and delivered to them. Boom, 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 boom. It's kind of fun. That's what he said. So he says this, look, whatever is sold in the shambles, which is the Greek word for market, butcher shop, but we don't really do that much anymore. He says, what's his answer? What is his answer?
That eat.
But he tells you, he gives you a command. What is the command? Dave, I'm going to pick up on Dave here because he brought it up 2 weeks ago. What's the command?
Ask me questions.
Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. Why not? But why not?
And if you know it was offered to idols, you may not eat it.
Here's the problem. Yes. Here's our problem. When it comes to conscience, this is not a class on conscience. Maybe someday I will deal with that. Consciences go from people that are seared. They can do anything and nothing bothers them. But there's also people in this room, by the way, that tend the opposite direction. Everything bothers them. Living bothers them. I don't want to be polluted. I remember people said, I can't come to the, by the way, take a breath. I've had people say, we can't come to the fellowships because there's food there. And they have a problem with eating too much. But by the way, the problem with eating too much has nothing to do with the fellowship. It has something to do with their own
self-control.
Oh, by the way, I've had a half a dozen people tell me that, and none of them ever lose weight, I've noticed. You say, are you losing? But I'm not mad at weight. It's just weird to me how we mess around. Paul gives us an example. If you go to the market, buy your food, eat it. But don't get wrapped up in the conscience, because the conscience will drive you crazy. Now, in this room, do you know yourself? By the way, I could point out, this lady here is more sensitive than I am. My wife is 10 times more sensitive than I am. I won't point out any people that are not sensitive enough. You understand? We're different. So he says, don't get all wrapped up in your conscience, because you can just mess yourself up. I'm going to come to card playing in a little bit later. Now, I'll say it now. I grew up in a family that my mom and dad back in the dark ages played cards constantly. Evil. By the way, that's how, if you went to grandma and grandpa's, you would break up into groups. Now, by the way, a lot of family. You'd break up into groups, 4 or 8 people at a table, and they'd be playing pinochle, talking, lying, eating all night long. There was no drinking and flipping. I never knew anybody to gamble. I found out one person did in my family. We didn't gamble, but then I got sensitized to cards. somebody in this room tell me the evil origin of cards?
Tarot of cards. Predicting the future, prophecy.
Maybe that's a piece of it. That's not the part I heard, though. The Joker. Jesus. We're making in front of what? What? I played Pinochle my whole life, eating popcorn and drinking tea. What? By the way, that's not sensitizing your conscience. That is a flat-out lie from hell. Did you hear me? That's a Billy Baptist lie. I started learning there's all kinds of this stuff made up. Now, wait a minute. Am I telling you to play cards? Here's our problem with cards. Well, we'll get to it later, but here's one of the problems. You might have a gambling problem. I have a book at home. Donna, this is not my book. I didn't write it. By two, a dad and a daughter, both PhDs from the University of the Philippines. On the first page, they said the number one characteristic of Filipinos is gambling. I don't think you heard me. This is people that are educated. By the way, when you go to the Philippines, you'll see about five guys over here, and you're, what are they doing? They're flipping a coin to see who can get closest to the line. There'll be another group over here with a ibis, or ibis, or oak, a cockroach, and they're seeing which one can go the fastest. Oh, come on, they gamble every place. By the way, should you play cards? Should you play mahjong? Well, you got to ask more questions than yes or no, because that's kind of a stupid question. But it's real good for a pastor. We're taking our stand on what? All right. So he says clearly, if you go to the market and you buy some meat, what do you do with the meat? Just eat it. Don't get lost in your brain. And then he gives in verse 26, what's that called? The justification. Look in your notes. The justification. Why? For. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. By the way, there was no pagan idol created this animal for us to eat. God did. So, in your notes, if you care to take a note a little bit, I specifically call this, you can use other language, the context of your everyday. That's the context of the everyday. He gives us an answer, and the answer in this case is, what?
Yes.
I have to ask, because there are people that will walk away still lost in your mind. By the way, he gives the answer. I don't. He said, just eat. I'll come to the next concept we talked about in the last couple weeks. It is not contagious. So if you go to the market and you pick up something to drink, look at me, everybody. You go buy some bottles of water and you put them in your car. Don't get wrapped up. Don't be asking questions. Just grab the water, pay for the water, put it in your car. When you go home, this water doesn't become contagious because some unsafe person dedicated it to a false god. Nothing changes. But don't get wrapped up in it either. Don't get your mind all exercised. That's the next part. It's not contagious. All right? We'll come back. Let's go to the middle part. See if we can get this down right. Now, the guy that wrote this saying you can never eat. I'm like, did he actually read the text, or did he go here with an opinion before he read? Verse 27. This is a very interesting, by the way, this is the reason I like these texts. They help us start thinking about life. He says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and what? Which tells you what? Yes, Amy, but let me say this. Let me step back. I'm not going to mention names because the names will not help you. In the Bible college I went to, you never had close associations with any unsaved people, which is exactly what Jesus is teaching against, and Paul. But he assumes there are times that your unsaved neighbors or your whoever at work, they're going to say, let's have a Christmas party. Go to the Christmas party. If you know, if you feel inclined, go to the Christmas party. If you can, you say, but Louis Haras is in charge of the Christmas party and there's going to be a drunken brawl. Now, Louis, I'm picking on you, of course. By the way, everybody look at me. Are those also true?
Yes.
So, well, that's the reason the answer here is not as easy. Let's continue. He goes on to says, so you go to this, whatever, feast of some sort. You know, we're having a birthday party. By the way, my wife and I have been to our neighbors, which are unsaved, though there's Christians in the broader family. We've been there twice recently for gatherings. They're Hispanic, they're Mexicans, which is fine. I actually can talk to Mexicans. Wow. All of them are illegal, so take a breath. Some of them are 40 years old and been there since they were two. Problematic. So, we're over there eating. By the way, they don't ask us to do wrong. They don't drink when we're there. If somebody drinks, they drink way out of sight. We go because they're having a birthday party for their daughter. They're our neighbors. We're disposed to go. We want to go. So he says what? What's his answer? He says, whatever is set before you, what? So the answer here is, well, yes. And we'll get to the next part of that answer in a moment, because he doesn't just give you one answer. But in verse 28, he says, eat, don't ask any questions for conscience sake. Please, don't get wrapped up in that. But if any man, not talking about a male really, a person say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, what's his answer? Ah, so you mean the answer is yes and no. Now, the more important part is the commands are identical in these two texts in the sense of the structure. In verse 27, he says, his command is, please don't get your head wrapped around this, you know, worrying yourself to death. But he says, if that unsaved person brings this up, that we have dedicated this to a false god in some fashion, or an idol, eat not. Estiete, me estiete. Don't eat. Stop eating. Why do you do it? He says, he gives us several reasonings here. For his sake that showed it, because, friend, if you're a Christian, you don't want an unsaved person to think their false idol or their false god is the source of this. And for conscience sake, and then he gives the ultimate thing, which he's already given. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He's back, because that person has denied that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, you could not eat in that case. Verse 29, conscience, I say, but look what it says. Conscience, I say, but whose? But of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? I mean, that's a complex sentence, but the whole idea is this. Everyone look at me. If I go over to Dada's house and he's unsaved, and Dada once, he suddenly tells me, this comes, we dedicated this to our idol, we wouldn't eat it. But it's not just about your conscience, because if you go back to 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, we already know these false idols are false. But that person thinks that. We have something bigger in mind. So, I want to give you a different context here. Is that a fair context? You're dealing in the context of the world. So I say in your notes, it's not the context of your everyday life. You're not popping over. Yesterday, I popped over to Jewel and bought myself some whole grain shredded wheat kind of stuff with no sugar. And yes, I'm telling you, I still like it without sugar. I don't know why. I used to have 2 pounds of sugar. Now I don't need sugar. I bought it. I didn't ask where it came from. I didn't ask if the farmers bowed and dedicated it to the false god. I just bought it. I ate some this morning. But if I was at somebody's house in this issue of this, and by the way, this context should be how we see the world. Not evangelism in the sense that I'm going to preach the gospel to every person I see every moment, but in the sense that I represent Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a believer in the biblical God. So the broad context is evangelism. So I go over and they offer some good food, you eat it. If they bring this up, you don't eat it, because it denies that God is, well, it denies that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, there's a third context. It is a major context in the whole chapter, and really starting back in chapter 8. Verse 14. Everybody see it? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what? I speak as to wise men, judge you. He's trying to persuade. He's trying to get us to engage and think through things. And then he brings up the Lord's Supper, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it just a cup, or do we actually participate in something? Well, his answer is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? I mean, it's more than just a physical act. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are they not, which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? It's a bigger issue now. There's other things involved. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Well, the answer is no. Or that which is offered to in sacrifice to idols is anything? It's still nothing. But I say that the things with the Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, which is King James. That's just the wrong translation. One devil, one diabolos, many daimonia. This is demons. He says they sacrifice them to demons and not to God, and I would not that you should have some kind of fellowship, participation with demons. Then he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of these demons. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This is the harder one. Does everybody know what enmeshment means? I'll give you an example. Somebody smoking pot. Do people smoke pot in this area? Well, I don't know if there's a little place to buy it or something like it on every street corner in this area now. If you go to their house and they're smoking pot, enmeshment means you're smoking it with them because it's in the air. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. It's going to get in your clothes. It's going to get in your lungs. Secondhand pot smoke. You're enmeshed in the context. So there's three broad, in my way of thinking, context. There's just your everyday life. You're taking care of your family. Your family knows the Lord or knows about the Lord anyhow. You're moving forward for the Lord. And then there's the context when you step out and you're mixing with unsaved people. Then the answer is yes and no. But by the way, in the context of enmeshment, it's a big no. Or could I say a big never? You don't go down that road in any context. And I look at life with these three contexts. If I'm asked to go any place, do anything, will I become enmeshed within that broader context in a way that destroys my testimony? And I end up in some ways partaking of things. All right, let's go to the bottom of the page. Well, let's see, do we read all this yet? Yeah, we did. By the way, chapter 8 and 9 deal a lot with this thing, especially 8. So you have three contexts, the everyday, evangelism, and enmeshment. The answer to the first context is yes. The answer to the second one is yes and no. The answer to the third one is a definite no or never. Let me give you the same things at the very bottom of the page. It's, oh, I know what I did. I just did this. I have blank spots. I think here he simply tells you to eat. Here he says, maybe eat. And how do I have it in the notes here? I want to keep it the way you have it, or the way I wrote it. Never. That's his three answers. Pastor Warren. Well, let's go to the backside. Let's do these back, just one last thing. I haven't given that, have I? Sorry. Front page, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm trying to do this in a way, and it's hard to do it in a way. By the way, I can get you to fill in blanks. I'm not interested in the dumb blanks. I'm interested in when you walk out of here, what do you do in your life? And may I say this, we do not do well with the second and third one. We compromise. By the way, most of the time we compromise by silence. We become wallflowers in the corner, never stepping up. And there's been a time, by the way, you all know this, Amy, you're talking about pronouns. That has been tamped down for a while because of Trump. Don't everybody have a heart attack about Trump. The people here are probably Trumpers, and there's anti-Trumpers, and I am a 51% Trumper on a good day, which I have been saying since he got elected. One thing he did well, let's quit this crap about 47 genders. And if you don't believe there's 47, you haven't been reading. It's impossible to keep up with the craziness. I thought I knew what LGBTQIA meant. Then I found out I didn't know what A meant because it means multiple things. It's asexual. It's aromantic. I'm like, I've had enough. I'm getting a brain bleed here. So do you understand context? So in your notes, to give you the same kind of concept, is the knots. Over here, it's not contagious, going back to what we have talked about. Otherwise, you just eat meat, it's offered to a pagan god, you don't know about it, you're just eating, you're minding your own business, you're living your life. It's not like something's going to happen to you. In the area of this, it's maybe, and I'm not going to write out the word, it's maybe contagious because it can be somewhat different. In any kind of environment of enmeshment, where you're part of a bigger environment, oh my friend, how do I say it? It is highly contagious. Yes, but can I say this? Not everything. All right, look at me. Let's bring this out of your religion. Let's bring this to right now. We're going to Thanksgiving, Christmas season. So we're at this time of the year. I'm going to say to you, I was thinking of this morning, so you all understand. This is harder than you think because number one is, in this room, I can point you out, there are several. Your number one goal in life is to be liked. You're either going to be silent and go along and hide in the corner. I'm not that guy. I can live without being liked. But I can have the other problem. I don't deal with it. I don't want to deal with any of the crazy. These are hard questions. So let me go back to 1980. Not a religious story, real story. I'm working at the Lake Forest Pediatrics Clinic, which at that time was in the city of Lake Forest. It had not joined the hospital, and now, of course, they got that massive building. When I was there, Lake Forest Hospital was a private, small hospital for very wealthy people. I worked there for a couple of years. I worked at the Peace Clinic for a year or so. I'm working at the Peace Clinic, five pediatricians, four of them Jewish. Those four guys, one of them taught at Harvard for a month every year, pediatrics. Do this. One's last name was Pritzker from the family. Brilliant guys. We're having a Christmas party. They're Jewish. Yeah. I'm a young guy. I was married at the time. Yeah, I was married. So they said, do you want to come to the Christmas party's on Saturday at the Deer Path Inn? Four people go to the Deer Path Inn, correct? They say, and by the way, I'm a country boy. Forgive me, I am now a Mexican, but I used to be a country boy when it comes to food. That's no exaggeration. I did not know people ate steak that was not battered and deep fried. I am not kidding you. You know, where I'm from, you batter it and deep fry everything. Now, there's reasons for this, and that's not important, but here's the whole point. They say, what do you want? They said filet mignon. I did not really know what it was. They gave a couple of different options. All I know is I went there that day, and we were seated around a table, but I made a mistake. Have you ever made a mistake? That's when this moved from this to this. I was working that Saturday at the pizza with one of the doctors, and he said, we'll just drive over together and come back afterwards. I said, fine. I work with these guys every day. Now, I'm not exaggerating one iota. We're sitting around the table. They bring out the steak. The things I remember is the steak that filled the whole plate, and the cow was still kind of moving. I wasn't used to cows still moving on the plate. Now, I can live a little better with that now, but I ate some of it, had a nice time the first 15 or 20 minutes, and then the wine came out. I'm a big boy, you know, I'm not going to drink, I don't drink. They, you know, they shared, and then more wine came out. And then lots of wine came out. And then doctors that I work with, I mean smart guys, Lake Forest quality, not North Chicago quality. Let me just say it that way. Just take that any way you want to take it. These are the best of the best. Women that I work with, the nurses start crawling into their lap and tongues go down people's throats. And I'm stuck. And I'm right there in front of it, and I'm stuck there, and I don't have a car to get out. Boy, did I learn a lesson. By the way, in order to stay away from this sometimes, you got to make sure you're in control of your circumstances. It was the most humiliating thing I've ever seen. Men that I respected and honored, I knew they weren't believers. And I'm just like this. Now that stuck with me, folks, near 50 years. So do you understand the different context? Now I'm going to ask you a question. It's on the back page. Let's just do some application of music. Y'all ready for music? What kind of music can you listen to in your personal life? Well, Pastor Warren can tell you about backbeats. I can tell you about playing the record backwards. This is from the 60s and 70s. Sorry, no joke. I remember hearing Billy Baptist pastor say, have you listened to it backwards? And I'm like, you haven't listened to it forward. If you listen to it forward, you know you can't. But let me just say, you like a song. Let me name some. You like Crosby, Stills, and Nash because they have great harmonies. Okay. Now, you can't go see Crosby, Stills, Nash because one of them's dead and the other one should be. Okay, you know, they come out there and auction. But here's the problem. When you look at these three things, can you listen? Are you listening to me? Can you listen to a song? My answer is, in many cases, the answer is some song, yes, in your personal life. Now, if you listen to the Carpenters, please never tell me you listen to the Carpenters. If you listen to Taylor Swift, please don't tell me you listen to Taylor Swift. But now I'm going to get serious. Would you take one of your unsaved friends to go see Taylor Swift?
No.
You see, you have skipped this part, and you've gone over here. You say, why? Folks, when you're in a crowd of 10, 20, 30,000 people, I assume when you know you're no longer in control of you. Yes or no? Well, you do have control, which is leave. But if you paid enough money to go see Taylor, I don't know how much it costs to go see Taylor Swift. Nicole, what does it cost? If I... You know what's sad, folks? So back before most of you were born, the last two concerts I saw was a concert at SIU University in Southern Illinois. I saw Black Oak, Arkansas, and the James Gang outside. I don't know who those people are. One of my favorite rock songs, the James Gang. But here's the deal. We were at a concert. I was not living for Christ. Are you guys, you know what a meshpit means? Outside. Did everybody get the outside? I remember when we walked up to the concert and there was tens of thousands of people. The lights were on and there was this huge fog settled over the concert. What do you think that was?
Marijuana.
Now you understand enmeshment. By the way, you go to a concert and they start doing, and most all of them are not Christian remotely. So you say, Pastor, can I listen to Taylor Swift? You want to shoot yourself in the head? Go ahead. Should you bring your friend over and say, let's listen to some Taylor Swift? Don't you think in the context of evangelism, you ought to be pushing them a direction?
Yes.
But enmeshment's a very dangerous thing. And by the way, it's very enmeshing. Say, my second concert was a group from Chicago called Hartsfield. They didn't last that long. They had beautiful music, had a folk music, and the Motor City Madman. See, right over here. We got to take it right over here. Ted Nugent. And the funny thing is, Ted Nugent is this arch conservative. He was a rocker back in the days. Maybe he still does. By the way, do you understand? Almost everything you do, you need to start evaluating context. Look at me. How much control do you have? How much does it control you? How contagious is it? I'm giving you objective standards, by the way. The contagious part bothers me because the more enmeshed you get, it gets real ugly real quick. Amy?
Well, I think you're talking about what is going to be your identity in this. So is my identity that I'm a Christian or that I'm a Swiftie? What do people think about?
Well, I think that takes about 30 seconds to know what that is.
But that's what I think.
And if I can say this, Amy, you're saying questions, and that's not part of the discussion from my side today. But identity, most Christians that go to Taylor Swift concert identify as a Swiftie. They don't even know that they shouldn't. By the way, when she's preaching everything that you don't believe, but you want to be liked. Mm-hmm. Now, there's music, hear me, that I will not listen to besides the Carpenters and a few of those pop bands, which I would shoot myself twice. If it's a boy band, it's eliminated immediately. All of them are eliminated. Thanks for sharing. By the way, you do know all of this goes back to the monkeys, which were created, and then they just created more. Friends, listen to me. I said, can I listen to a song? I know The Rock. I grew up in that world. I can listen to a song for two reasons. Number one, I'm listening to it personally. Number two, I'm choosing, well, three reasons. And number three, that era is gone 50 years. But I still won't listen to Pink Floyd. Drug music. You say, I don't listen to Jethro Tull. Not one song. I had Dr. Bowder. He knew who they were. I said, just get online. Get on YouTube, listen to Aqualung, the album. Aqualung begins with this. Sitting on a park bench, watching little girls go by. Christian music, yes. By the way, I'm going to say this. All the nonsense I heard, please take it, don't get mad at me, from Ron Hamilton, Frank Garlock, and all the Billy Baptists from Bob Jones, none of that slowed me down with rock music. I actually started listening to rock music. That's the reason I quit. I would tell you, get very serious about what you listen to. And if you can find a song that's a pretty love song or whatever, that's fine. By the way, tomorrow, I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm listening to a folky rock song in class. Because tomorrow is 50 years. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But I don't feel like going getting drunk or smoking pot. I remember the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Some of you guys are too young. You don't even know about the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It happened 50 years ago tomorrow. Can I say this? Some music I will not listen to. Drug music, Pink Floyd, The Doors, Jethro Tull. Probably won't listen to Janis Joplin. You know, somebody that died with needles in her arms. Probably is not my kind of music. I don't listen to anything nasty, racist, hateful. Do you? So, there's lots of choices here. And I will say this, context is a big issue. We'll pick up here probably next week. Thank you. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time in Christ's name. Sorry, Mike, I know that you want to listen to the carpenter.
I'm going to say, you know, I had a friend at work.